And we're going to talk a little bit about praise. And praise is one of the most important aspects of our spiritual life. You probably all know that. You've probably heard a lot of things about praise. But it's also one of the most misunderstood aspects of our spiritual life, too, because sometimes when people say praise, we think of loud, right? You think of the praise song is the loud song, the upbeat song, the song that everybody's expected to clap to and shout and stomp your feet. And half of you are probably, knowing most of you, most of the people in this room are like, that's not really my personality. And sometimes I feel out of place when people say, let's praise the Lord and let's get rowdy and let's get loud, because it's not something that I feel like I'm supposed to do. Listen, praise is not just loud and upbeat songs. That's a part of praise. That's a way of praise. It's a form of praise. But when we think about what does praise actually mean? What does it mean? I'm not talking about the Webster's dictionary definition. I'm saying when they say praise in the Word of God, what does it mean? And if you were to look up the original language and look up the word praise in the New Testament, it simply means a thank offering. When we say, I'm going to praise the Lord, let's praise the Lord, it can mean let's get loud, let's get rowdy. But ultimately, what it really means is let's have a heart that just offers thanks to God. Right? Thank you, God. Whatever that looks like to you, however you feel led to express that. That's why when we hear a testimony, right? What is the response to a testimony if somebody walks up here and says they were healed? We say, praise God. Praise the Lord. We say somebody has had some miraculous provision or restoration in their life. God has moved in a miraculous way and done something that couldn't have been done any other way. We praise the Lord. That doesn't always have to be loud. It doesn't always have to be very demonstrative. It's just saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you for what you've done. I think we all have reasons to praise the Lord. Amen? We all have praise in us. It's not the lack of praise that is really our issue. Our issue is whether or not we're willing to let it out. So today we're going to look at what does the scripture tell us about praise. We'll be in Hebrews chapter 13, mostly on verse 15, and it says this, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. By him. We start off here with what is the channel for praise? What is the way that we even get to a place of praise in our life? We praise by him. It's through Jesus. It's because of Jesus we have a reason to praise. I'm not just talking about, can you look at your life today and could you write down three or four things that are really good that you could yell about? I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about, can you look at your life and can you see Jesus in it? Can you see anywhere in your life that Jesus is involved? Anywhere in your life that he has had an impact on you, that he's had an effect on you? If you can, you have a reason to praise. See, we can have a reason to praise while we're going through hardship, while we're going through trials and sickness and difficulties. Why? We're not thankful for the difficulty, but we're still thankful for the Lord and his presence and the fact that he's in it somewhere, somehow. So you can look at your life today and you can say, man, praise God that I'm alive. Amen? I mean, thank you, Lord. We didn't listen. There's no guarantee that you were going to wake up today. No guarantee. But praise God that you're alive, because guess what? He's the creator of life. He's the one that gives us the breath in our lungs. You can look at the things that you have. You can look at your all of your blessings in your life, and you can praise God. You can thank him for that, right? Because if you believe that God is your provider, then he's given you the means to be able to obtain those things. Listen, I know some of you are just hard workers, but I'm going to tell you what. He's given you the ability to be able to work hard because you're not in a wheelchair, right? I mean, there's reasons that go beyond ourselves that we're able to do all the things that we're able to do. And you can say, man, God has blessed me. He's my provider. And I thank him for that, for this stuff that I have. But listen, true praise runs deeper than just being alive or just having cool stuff. See, true praise looks for Jesus in the dark. True praise says, man, my life might be hard, it might stink, it might be difficult, it might be trying, but I can see Jesus even in the dark. See, true praise looks for Jesus in scary situations and circumstances in our life. True praise looks for Jesus in the times where we're worried, or where we're fearful, or where we are doubting everything about life, everything we know, everything we've done. True praise still looks for Jesus in those moments and says, listen, it's okay to say, Lord, where are you? You guys realize that? It's okay to say, God, where are you? Because I believe that if we look, that we'll find him. Right? He tells us, if you seek, you'll find me. He tells us that. It's a promise. That's a guarantee. True praise runs deeper than the basics, sediment things that we often lift up in praise. And man, I'm just thankful I'm here. When we think about praise, right, we listen to this phrase a lot of times, we got to be able to praise him on the mountaintop and praise him in the valley. Right? Why do we have to be able to praise God in both situations and both circumstances? It's because he's with you. And praise God that he's with you. If you belong to Jesus, he is with you in the good and in the bad. He's with you in the easy, but also in the difficult. He's with you in the happy, but also in the sad. When we think about Psalm 23 and look at verse 4, it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Not only are you with me, but your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Church, Jesus is with you. And if he's with you, you've got a reason to praise even when things aren't so good. You know, there's times in our life where having the presence of someone else when things are difficult is all that we really need. Right? I've shared this before, but I'm not real great at empathy. I'm not real great at having the words to say when people are struggling and going through difficult things. And for a long time, that really bothered me. And then I realized one time that most of the time, they don't remember what you said. All they remember is if you were there. Right? How great is it to know that somebody is there for you and just to have somebody present when you're going through something difficult? Now, how much more comforting is it to know that we have the presence of the Holy Spirit with us? How much more comforting is it to know God Almighty is with me, no matter how hard this is, and no matter how good or easy this is, he's still ever present. How good is it to know, right, that I have a thank offering to God because I can thank him for his presence, I can thank him for his promises. Do you realize if God says it, it will be done? How many of you are thankful that he's not like us, right? We fail to keep our promises. And it's not always intentional. Sometimes we just forget. Maybe you ever promised something and you forgot. And you get the call and they're like, where are you at? And you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot. Or sometimes you double book yourself or you overextend yourself. We fall short on our promises, but God never does. He never does. If he said it, it will be done. We can thank him for his victory, even when we've yet to see it. We can thank Jesus that he says he has overcome the world. He has defeated hell, death, and the grave. Listen, we may not see it currently in our circumstances. We can thank him for his promises. Thank him for his victory. If he's with you in the valley, Church, listen, you will get to the other side. If he's with you, he'll take you through it. That scripture in Psalm 23:4 said that his rod and his staff, they comfort us. Why does that bring comfort to us? His rod is there for our protection, but his staff is there for our direction. 2 Corinthians 3:3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." Right? That's his rod. He will guard you from the evil one. He will defend you. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit is the greatest defender that you have? He's the greatest defender that you have. Because not only can he defend you in this life, in this world, as we mix with other people, but man, he defends you in the things that you can't even see. Man, take comfort in that. Psalm 25:9 says, "The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way." As he leads you and guides you throughout your life, take comfort that, you know what? The Holy Spirit is going to lead me. He's going to guide me and teach me his way. Jesus is the channel of praise. If we have Jesus, we have a reason to offer thanks to God. This week I met with two people about being baptized. Next Sunday, it's going to be awesome. Next Sunday, Brett is going to be here. He is preaching Sunday morning. I didn't put that on all the flyers and stuff because they're really a handout, you know, to people in other churches too. But he's preaching Sunday morning as well. And so he's preaching, but we're starting off with two baptisms. I met with two people this week about baptisms, and they both had very different stories. But they had one thing in common. They had experienced the love of God in their life in a powerful way. Experienced the love of God. Now, it was completely different, right? One was maybe going through some difficult times in their life, and the comfort of God and his presence helped them through. Another was more of the peace of God's presence and the change that Christ has done in their life for good. But at the end of the day, what is it ultimately about? That as they get into the tank back here and celebrate what God has done, it's a moment to praise God and thank him. To praise him and to thank him. Why? It's all because of Jesus. And we have this continuation of that praise. Back to Hebrews 13:15, it says, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God." Now, through Jesus, continually offer sacrifice. Sometimes we fail to really think about what the words we're reading actually say, but to offer a sacrifice. You know what it means to offer a sacrifice? It means to bring a victim to the altar and lay it down as a thank you to God. Bringing a victim to the altar to thank God. Now, that may not make a lot of sense in our culture and the way we do things and we worship today, but if you go back to this book of Hebrews, and why was this really written? What's the whole big point of this letter, this book, as we call it? It was for one thing. It was to show that the law had been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And because of that, we now have a better way of worship. How many of you guys would say what we've been doing today is a better way of worship than killing animals and spreading their blood and burning them at the altar? I would say this is a significantly better way of worship today. See, in the Old Testament, you had two types of ordained ministers. You either had a prophet or you had a priest. And there was really no other option, nothing in between. But a prophet is God's representative to man, right? They speak on behalf of God to the people. But then you had the priest, and the priest is man's representative to God. The priest would sacrifice at the altar on behalf of man. And these sacrifices were important in their culture. We look at it today and we're like, man, that's weird. I don't know about that stuff, but it was important in their culture. And as they would offer this animal, they would kill it and spread the blood on the altar and sprinkle it around and do all these rituals that they did and burn it as a way to thank God. There's something about that. If we did that today, you guys would be in the clear. Because guess who had to do that? The priest. It would have been me in here doing all that. You guys out there, I'm in here killing the animal, spreading the blood around. Hopefully I got a puke bucket over here on the side because I'm probably not going to be doing real well. That's one of the reasons I don't hunt. I don't touch dead stuff. I don't like it. It creeps me out. It's gross. All right? But you guys would be all right. You'd be out there. You wouldn't even have to see it. You wouldn't have to look at it. Nothing. You'd just be like, did you do that for me? Did you do that on my behalf? Did you get my sacrifice? All right. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. But it would still be a sacrifice to you, right? You would have to bring the offering. You'd have to give up one of your animals, or if you didn't have the means, if you weren't raising them, you'd have to purchase one, you know, out of the gate and bring it in. You'd still be giving something up, but it'd kind of be like after a wedding or something when you receive a lot of gifts. What's the best part is getting all the gifts. The worst part is what? Writing out the thank you cards. It's the worst part. Because you got to be like, okay, who gave us what? Thankfully, somebody probably kept track of that because you didn't, right? And you got to put all this together. But imagine if you were just to say, hey, here you go, Mark. Here's the list of cards. I bought the cards. You thank everybody for me. Right? You do it on my behalf. Write them out. Hand deliver them. Give them to everybody. Thank you for coming to my wedding. Thank you for blessing me. Now, would the ultimate point still be made? Yeah, you're thankful. And Mark delivers it on your behalf. But does it really have as deep of a meaning versus you doing it personally, yourself? The person would still say, man, well, they thanked me. That's good. But there's something different about it when somebody does something on your behalf. And sometimes you'll have that in life. You'll be like, oh, so-and-so, you know, I talked to them the other day and they said to tell you thanks for whatever you did. And it's like, you're like, okay, well, that's good. But, you know, when the person does it personally, it just has more of an effect. Why is that? Because it's relational, right? There's a deeper sentiment when you are actually able to provide a thank offering yourself. This is why the new covenant through Jesus Christ is better. Church in Christ, we are all priests. We're all priests. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Did you catch that, church? There's a specific reason that Peter says we're all priests. It's not just so we have some kind of clout, so we have some kind of position, but he says you're a priest and you're his own special people that you may proclaim the praises of God. You are a priest because now you don't need somebody to thank God on your behalf. You can do it yourself. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:5, a few verses back, says that you're living stones being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You and me as priests, right? We have a position and an authority, a power that is only available to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now listen, I don't want you guys all hitting Catholic Charities at the end of the service today looking for, you know, one of those black shirts with a little white collar and going around doing incense and trying to be a priest. It's not about that. We don't want to be a priest bound by religion. Amen? Some of you should say that a little bit louder. Otherwise you're going to be sacrificing stuff at the altar. And then cleaning it up. Alright? We're not paying extra to have that cleaned up. We're priests. What does that mean to us? It means that we have access to the holy place. Guys, imagine that. You and I, we both, not me because I'm a pastor, We, because we are priests, have access to the throne of God. That's amazing, church. That's one of the things that Jesus has done for us, that you and I can offer up a sacrifice of praise, thanking God anytime we want. We don't need anybody to do it for us. Man, praise God for that. It doesn't have to be a specific time of year. You don't have to go to a specific place. You don't have to bring a sheep or a goat or a bull or a pigeon or a dove, or even if you're doing a grain offering and these other kinds of offerings, you don't have to bring all this stuff, right? Under the new covenant, God desires the thanksgiving and praise of his people rather than the offerings of animals and grains. He doesn't want what you have. He just wants you. He just wants you. So when we back up to what does that mean to offer this sacrifice, he said it means that we got to bring a victim to the altar. What is the victim that you and I bring to the altar and lay down before the Lord as a thank you to him? Right? Jesus already offered the great sacrifice of himself for the atonement of our sin. So we don't have to do that. Our sacrifice is just simply the acknowledgement of what he has done that we couldn't. It's the acknowledgement of what God has done for us, and now the victim that we bring to the altar is simply my heart. I bring my heart to the altar and say, God, I have surrendered this to you. Right? We sing that song, Gratitude. I throw up my hands. Right? It's like, I don't have anything else to offer to a king. I don't have anything else, but I'll give you my praise, right? That's it. That's all I have to offer God Almighty. But church, the great thing is that that's all he wants. All that he wants is the only thing that you can give him. These Old Testament sacrifices, they were offered at a set time. Specific layout to get to this point of being able to offer praise. But as a Christian, church, our praise is to be constant, continuous, always, because a loving God is constantly, continuously, always working in your life and is ever present in your midst, no matter what the circumstances are. He is always deserving of praise. It leads us to the conversation of praise. Hebrews 13, 15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. What kind of fruit do your lips produce? What kind of things are coming from your lips? This is something serious that we need to consider about ourselves, not our neighbor, not your spouse, not your kid or your parents, like you. What is the fruit of your lips? We have to look at our lips as a gateway. Listen, the thing we have 100% control of. There's not a lot in your life that you have control of, but you do have control over what comes out of here. Now listen, I've heard people's argument before. It just came out. You let it. I mean, if we're being real, right, you let it. You have the ability, right, unless you have a medical condition that you can't close your mouth, you have the ability to close it. So you let it out. Now, when we think about the things that we let out, sometimes the things that we let out are really just a byproduct of the things that we let in. Actually, always the things we let out are a byproduct of the things we let in. And there's times where we let the enemy in and give him access, and we give way and we roll on our back and let him have his way. And then what comes out is a byproduct of what he has sown into our life instead of thanksgiving towards God. When we think about our lips being like a gateway, when you consider going to a military base, right? As you try to go onto the base, they want to check one thing. Let me see your ID. Let me see your credentials. Are you an okay person? That's really all they, like, are you going to cause us harm? That's all they care about. If you don't have a military ID, you better go over there because they're going to run your background. They're going to make sure you're not a psychopath as far as they can tell. And they're going to make sure that if they let you in, that you're not going to cause harm while you're there. What do they do on the gate when you exit? They don't do anything. They just let you out. See, they've done the prep work that what they let in is good and isn't going to cause any trouble while they're there. And when they go to leave, they don't have to worry about trying to stop them from leaving. They're like, if we only let good in, then we're not too concerned about what is going out. Church, that's kind of how we ought to operate our lips. That I don't have to be careful of every single little thing that I say. If I'm only letting good in, then only good's really there to come out. I don't have to worry, but Jesus told us in Luke 6, verse 45, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? Out of the abundance of the heart, out of the overflow of what is in us, that is what will bubble over and what will come forth. It's what will be produced from our lips. Proverbs 18:21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life come from our tongue, passes through our lips. We let them out of the gateway. Who wants to speak words of death? Only people who are trying to cause harm. Only people that are under the sway of the enemy. Only people who have given way to the things that the enemy has brought into their life. We, church, as the people of God, we've been given the word of God, which speaks life. Listen, when you boil it down to one thing, what is the word of God? What does it do? First of all, we're told that Jesus is the word, and he's the giver of life, but he's also the giver of new life, right? The word of God brings life. That's what it does. That's its purpose. Church, we have the hope of nations in the word of God. We have the God who is risen in Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit who is with us and guides us through the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Do we speak as though these things are actually true? The fruit of our lips. In Hebrews it says it's supposed to be a way of giving thanks to his name. Giving thanks to his name, agreeing with the word, but also openly declaring, speaking freely, and ultimately celebrating what Jesus says and who he is. Do you agree this morning that God is good?
Yes.
Do you speak it freely in your life? Do you celebrate it by the way that you live? That, man, even if my life is hard, that God is still good. Listen, I've heard people criticize that before. Oh, your life stinks, but God is good. Well, good for you. No, that is a fact that we ought to cling to, church, because life is not always good. Life is not always easy, but God is always good. We ought to be able to say that. It's not cliche. It's not just, I don't know what else to say. It's a truth that God is good. And church, there are obstacles to our praise. There's obstacles to praise everywhere you turn in life. We have sorrow, we have death, we have difficulty, we have feelings. Ultimately, we just have ourselves. That we're ultimately the biggest obstacle to what God has for us. It's usually me. I'm usually the problem. The other day, me and Christy drove to Terre Haute. Every time we go to Terre Haute, I tell her, I'm never coming back to this place. I hate this state. Sorry, Susan. That's why I want you to move here. I hate Indiana. I hate when I go over there for something. This is how I was talking. I was mad. You know why? Because the time's different over there.
It's not Evansville.
Oh, okay. Well, Evansville's fine. Terre Haute stinks. Literally. The The last time we went there, we were an hour late for a movie that they were only showing in Terre Haute. This time we go over there, and our main reason for going there was Sam's Club has Southwest gift card, $500. You can get it for $450. So if you're gonna fly Southwest, go buy a couple gift cards, you save a decent amount of money. But I'm like, I'm not just driving there for that. I'm not spending $25 in gas to save $50 plus my time. We needed something from Tractor Supply Company. Okay, we'll go there. We wanted something from Kroger. We're like, all these things that are in Terre Haute that I don't have here, let's go. But what happens is we are almost there, and I look at the GPS and it says, we're gonna be there at 8:35. I'm like, 8:35? It's only like 7:20. You know, like, why is it gonna take me so long to get the rest of the way there? And it hits me like a ton of bricks. Time change. Gotcha again, sucker. You're still stupid. And so I'm like, okay, well, it's 8:30. Well, most places probably are open until 9. So I'm like, all right, look at when these places are open. And Christy's like, oh my gosh. I'm like, what? She's like, Sam's closes at 8. I'm like, oh, what's 7:30 my time? It's 8:30 their time. And so now I'm mad, okay? And if you've ever driven on the interstate, if like, listen, if Betty Lynn brings up interstate driving, kind of shows who you are all the time, I'm like, I'm not sure if I'm saved when I drive on the interstate. There are times where I question that. I get upset, I get angry, and I try not to, but I don't like when people try to cut me off when you're merging, and it's like, I will let people. But the guy who's behind me and there's room to get over behind me, sir, you better get over them. Because if you're going to try to snake in here, I will wreck my car before I'm going to let you in. I'm not saying it's holy and I'm not saying it's rational, because it's neither. But for some reason, I'm willing to give up my time and my money to not let this person in because I feel like they don't deserve it. Listen, it's not very Christian, but I've already let two or three people in who really needed to get in. And so I do that, and I'm like, I ain't letting this guy in. Get back. So he of course, gets like 8 cars up and cuts over. His day was great. He didn't know I was mad. I didn't have any impact on his life. But now I've let this stuff in me, and guess what the fruit of my lips is? Fruit of my lips is frustration. It's anger. It's, you know, just stupid stuff. Then get a little farther up, and a semi's going really slow, and there's this car turns their blinker on, they need to get over, and I slow down. I'm like, it's okay, Tim, you need to be nice to people. If you would want somebody to let you over, I slow down. Flip, they don't get over. Flip the brights. They don't get over. I honk the horn. They don't get over, and I'm like, Christy, see what happens when I try to be nice? People still make me mad. Listen, what was the problem there? It was the fruit of my lips. That I had already let this thing that was insignificant and didn't matter start to ruin my day. And at the end of the day, who really cares if you don't save $50? Or what real impact that does that have on my life? I still got to go eat White Castle, the second tier of the Lord's food after Chick-fil-A, yeah. Right? I still got to eat White Castle. I still got to spend time with my wife. We still had a good time. The problem is that I let these things build up in me and the fruit of my lips begin to overflow. And now I'm thinking, now I've probably ruined my wife's tummy. Right now she's probably like, I'm stuck in the car with this knucklehead. There's nowhere to go. I just want to be thankful that I'm still alive, that he didn't wreck our car. Right? She's got a whole list of reasons to praise the Lord, most of which are that I'm not as big of a knucklehead as I led on to be, and I actually showed some self-restraint. But think about the things that we let affect our lives, and then the overflow of that and what comes out of us, and the impact it has on others, and the impact it has on ourselves, church. You and me, we always have to come back to the channel for praise. What is the reason that we even have the ability to praise in the first place? It's by him. He gives us a reason for gratitude. If you got nothing else to go on, Jesus made a way of salvation. I don't know if you really fully grasp that he made a way because there really was no way. There was one way. It was to be perfect from the time you're born until the time you die. That was the one way of salvation, perfection. Here's the problem. No man can do it. Only God can. And so Jesus came, God as a man, and did it for us. Man, he made a way when there was no way. And if you got no other reason to praise, you've got that. And it's the biggest reason you could possibly ever have or ever desire. We have a reason to praise no matter what our circumstances are. And from there, he lets it go a little farther than that. He gives us the ability in him to be a priest. The ability to come to the altar of God. The ability to put ourselves out there and say, Lord, here I am. I give my life to you. And church, we have the confidence that he accepts the offering. That's the beauty of it. It doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, where you come from, that if you come to the Lord and you offer up yourself, that he will accept that offering. How good is that? None of us deserve it. None of us deserve it. And he says, I will accept that offering. And church, when we can come together like that to lift high the name of Jesus, listen, I believe our heart can be continually changed. Our mind can be continually renewed. Our attention can be continually refocused when we come back to the channel that is Jesus Christ. Church, that's how we keep fresh fruit on the stand. We got to be connected to the vine. Fresh fruit on the stand. Fruit of life. The fruit that gives life, that is good, that is pleasing, that is honoring to the Lord. We can produce praise and give thanks to God no matter what we're going through in our lives. Psalm 150, verse 6. Everybody knows this verse. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything that has breath. Church, every living being has a reason to praise. Every living being has a reason to praise. You've got a reason to praise today, and it's why you're here. Not just in church, but alive. It's the reason you have a heartbeat in your chest to thank God for who he is. To thank Jesus for what he has done, to thank the Holy Spirit for being with you and leading you and guiding you and comforting you and teaching you the way of truth. A lack of praise isn't really the issue we have as people. The issue is the lack of letting it out. The lack of expressing to God that, Lord, I thank you. I just thank you. And if I don't have anything else to say, I can just say, God, thank you. If you're like me as a person, you might say, thank you for what? But I'm going to tell you what, God knows what. He knows what. And all he wants is your heart. Would you stand with me? This morning, whether you accept Jesus for the first time in your life or if you've done that, and you just want to come as a place of God, I surrender my life. I give my life as an offering to you, as a way of thank you for what you've done. Just want to pray for a moment for the Holy Spirit to touch your heart right where you're at. So if you'd pray with me. Father, I thank you for your word, that your word is life. I thank you that your word is powerful, that it's effective, that it impacts our heart in a way that no other thing on this world can. Jesus, today, let us be a people of praise. That might be yelling and stomping and shouting, that might be clapping, that might just be a simple folding of the hands and saying, thank you, Lord. It might be tears rolling down our cheeks in amazement of how good our God is. It might be a moment of realizing that no, I don't deserve anything that I have, but my God has blessed me. He's blessed me beyond measure, regardless of my circumstances. And today I don't want to leave this place without every person having an opportunity to say, thank you, God. I praise you. I lift high the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, the name that at one day every single knee shall bow. Lord, my prayer is that every person in this place and those watching online will say, for me, today is that day. Today is the day that I bow the knee to the King. Today is the day that I say, thank you, Jesus, for you. You are worthy. And I give myself to you. We thank you. We praise you. We ask you to have your way with us. In Jesus' name.